All right, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me this morning. My name is Stephen Borsma. I'm a master's student with Sean Castile at Purdue University, and I'm going to be presenting this morning about my research looking at the effect of maturity group and seed rate on double crop soybean in the Ohio River Valley region. So some of you might be thinking, what exactly do I mean by double crop soybean? So to give a bit of background about that, double crop soybean, we're harvesting winter wheat that was planted the previous spring, and then following that with the double crop soybean planted after wheat harvest. So that wheat's planted in the fall, harvested the following spring, and then the soybeans are planted right away after that. So by double crop, I mean that we're harvesting two crops in 1 year. And one of the reasons for doing that is we're just trying to maximize land use, trying to get as much out of each hectare as we can, and ultimately try to maximize our profitability. One of the reasons why we're doing this in the Ohio River Valley region is that we're just trying to get more small grains back into rotations. We're trying to get that cropping system diversity where we're having a crop in the ground over the winter, and as a result of that, we're just trying to find ways to best manage that crop. As well, we're looking to try to maybe expand some of the traditional double crop acres, for instance, moving into some areas like Northeast Indiana, which is the second highest concentration of wheat grown in the state. However, the season's relatively short, so adoption of double crop soybeans is relatively low. So this is a map here of the mainland U.S. You can see here the 1.61 is the percent of soybean production that's actually raised in double crop. So very low total production of soybean is raised in double crop in the Midwest versus 7.47% in the Southeast. When part of the reason for that is just that it's a longer growing season, generally more moisture. The wheat's planted and harvested sooner, so you can plant those soybeans sooner, and ultimately less of a yield drag from planting past the optimum date the further south you go. So as I mentioned just here, Midwest, relatively low adoption of double crop soybean, perceived as high risk, low wheat prices, so really not that well planted and well adapted. As a result of that, there's been generally very little research done, especially Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio. Most of those people are studying corn or full season beans for some reason. So we don't know a whole lot about double crop beans, but what we can take from full season soybean is that when you're planting late, you need to increase your seed rate. The reason for that is that you've got limited growth because your season's a little bit shorter, and as well you're going to want to shorten up the maturity a bit just to try to get that plant finished before frost comes in the fall. So this research hasn't been done in double crop, so we are going to see how this try to relates to double cropping. So then the objectives of our work here, we're trying to determine the agronomic as well as the economic optimum seed rate for three maturities, an early, medium, and a full season in this Ohio River Valley region. We figure if the early maturing soybean can't maximize that shortened growing season, we're going to need a bit of a higher seed rate to optimize grain yield. Again, there's just limited plant development, so you need more plants to get the same yield on a per area basis. As well, the full season varieties, since they're going to mature later than the early ones, they're going to be able to maximize that growing season and ultimately provide greater returns perhaps. However, if the early maturing varieties can yield similarly to a full season, then it shows that maybe we can expand these double crop acres outside of traditional areas. So we predicted that the agronomic optimum seed rates will be lower for the full season. Again, they're able to grow longer, so you've got more pods per plant, and ultimately have a lower seed rate on account of that. As well, the higher seed rates resulting from the earlier maturing varieties are going to ultimately reduce the net returns. So how we did this, we had a factorial design arranged with three maturity groups and five seed rates. So those three maturities, there was a full season, and that was relative to that location. This was an adapted variety commonly grown in the area. The medium maturing variety was about a half maturity shorter than the full season, and the early maturing variety was a full unit or so less than that full season. The five seed rates, increments of 123,000 seeds, ranging from 123,000 up to 618,000 seeds per hectare, and this relates to 50,000 seeds per acre up to 250,000 seeds per acre. After we machine harvested these plots, I did a regression of grain yield on the population. So this is the Ohio River Valley that I've been alluding to. We've got a location here in Missouri, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, two there in Kentucky. The blue one is right behind that orange marker there, and then one up in Ohio. These locations varied by wheat harvest and planting date. So here you can see the planting date was generally last week of June. However, I just want to point out here that the Ohio planting date was a little bit later, delayed wheat harvest, so we were planted July 11. When I did my economic returns, I made a few assumptions here. The first one being that everything other than the seed rate cost was the same across all treatments. I assumed the seed cost was $60 per 140,000 seed bag, which could be on the low side, but depends who is supplying your seed, I guess. We used a stand establishment of 75%, which was the average across the locations. The grain value was $350 per ton, or 35 cents per kilogram, with a hauling cost of $0.0135 per kilogram. And when I did this economic return analysis, I based it off of the seed rate, not the actual population. So here you can see the maturity group effect on the crop development. There's a relative maturity of 3.8 versus the 4.6. This 3.8, it's turning yellow already, it's starting to senesce, whereas this full season, this 4.6, it's still green, still photosynthesizing 100%. It's probably filling pods, filling those seeds, and we'll see what happens with the grain yield. So I'm going to be showing a series of slides here with the results. So we've got grain yield here on the y-axis, measured in kilograms per hectare, and then our population here on the x with 1,000 plants per hectare. So here's what we saw in Indiana. We have our early maturity variety here in the green, and this yielded the maximum grain yield was about 4,200 kilograms per hectare. The early mature, or the medium maturing variety here is the blue line. It maxed out a little bit higher at about 5,000 kilograms, or 4,500 kilograms, we'll see in a minute. And then this pink line here is the full season maturity variety, which also maxed out higher than the early maturing variety. So just the key point I want to make here is that this earlier maturing variety, as we saw in the previous presentation, the early maturing variety did yield a bit less than the full seasons. So putting some numbers to that, the 95% max grain yields here were about 3,900 kilograms for the early, 4,500 kilograms for the medium, and 4,400 again for the full. This was achieved with populations of about 174,000, 201,000, and 169,000 plants per hectare. And this delivered returns of 1,200, 1,400, and about 1,400 again for the early, medium, and full maturities. Moving a little bit further east into Ohio, grain yield responded here in a nice linear fashion. You can see the slopes of the blue and the green lines are fairly similar, and they continue to increase to the range of our data here. So this is indicating that perhaps grain yield was not maximized and population was still limiting our yield since it didn't like reach that nice plateau that you might expect. This full season maturity variety, this pink line here, it was yielded a little bit lower, and one of the possible explanations for that, if you recall, the planting date was July 11. So it was planted a little bit later. That full season maturity wasn't quite able to maximize that growing season. It was still maybe trying to reproduce a bit when it was time to totally shut down. So key point here, the early and the mediums out yielded the full season one. Putting the numbers to it, we had about 3,500 kilograms per hectare for the early, 3,450 for the medium, and only 2,800 kilograms for the full season one. This was achieved with populations of about 553, 554, and 401,000 plants per hectare. And ultimately, the economic returns here were about $860, $840, and $717 per hectare. Moving further west again, this is Missouri. Grain yield responded in a nice quadratic plateau model here. This site was super dry after wheat harvest, so they actually irrigated to establish the stand. They used four maturities here, 4.3 and the 4.8 were both the full season, the 3.4 a little bit earlier, and the 3.8 was the medium maturing variety. Just like to mention here, the green line here for the early maturing variety reaches its plateau. You can see it separates out a bit, so this early one yielded lower than the mediums and the full. Overall, pretty good grain yields there as well. Putting the numbers to it, we had maximum grain yields about 3,500 kilograms for the early, about 3,600 kilograms for the medium, and about 3,700 kilograms for the full. And this was achieved with relatively similar plant populations of about 249, 223, and 250,000 plants per hectare. Overall, the economic returns for those maturities were about $1,036, $1,080, and $1,097 per hectare. Averaging across four of our locations, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Missouri, partial economic returns here for the early, medium, and full variety was regressed on the seed rate. And what you can see here is that this full season maturity variety, this pink line here, even at the low seed rates, it delivered the greatest returns relative to the earlies and the medium maturing varieties. The maximum that it reached was slightly higher than the other two maturities, and that's a good thing. Putting the numbers to it, though, it didn't really separate out that much, about $994, $983, and $1,024 per hectare for each variety, for each maturity, sorry. And that was achieved with seed rates of about 326, 366, and 330,000 seeds per hectare. Generally, it's about 450,000 seeds per hectare might be about that optimum range. So slightly lower than what previously typically have found. So just some conclusions that we made off of our 2016 growing seasons. The maximum grain yield in 5 of 6 locations was achieved with either the medium or the full. The outlier there, I guess, is the Ohio location, where planting date was a little bit delayed. That full season wasn't quite able to finish out, and it was outperformed, I guess, by the early and the medium maturing varieties. At the other locations, those early maturing varieties, they started shutting down earlier. They weren't able to capture all the sunlight, so ultimately they produced less photosynthate and ultimately had lower yields than the mediums and the full. Average across locations, we had maximum returns with that full season maturity variety. However, as you saw, it was a very small difference. So in the future, which was actually this past growing season, we did these studies again. We replicated this in 2017. Different growing conditions. For instance, last year in Indiana, we had a lot of rain in August and September that made those great yields. This year, we had 5 centimeters all of August, September, so we're going to find crazily different results, I think. We had really good yields last year, which has been a great season to work with. I'm coming down, I'm like, wow, double crop doesn't seem so tough. And if we want to think about moving double crop further north, these are some of the things that we need to think about. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the researchers at the various locations that performed this study with me. Ohio, Kentucky, Missouri, our guy from Illinois, and then Sean as well at Purdue, and USB for funding for this project. And with that, if anyone's got any questions, I'd be happy to take those now. If you'd like to sign up for my monthly newsletter, please send me a note. I can add you to my email list.
We got time for questions.
Yes.
So you reported on the bean yields.
Yep.
Did you combine the wheat and bean yields?
So the question was, did I combine the wheat and the bean yields? You mean for the economic returns?
The economic, yeah.
So the answer to that is no, I did not. So average wheat yields were about 70 bushels per acre, so about 4,000. Ish kilograms per hectare. So no, I did not add those into my economic analysis. Yes, in the back.
Do you have any explanation why the relationship between yield and population is linear in Ohio, non-linear in Indiana and Missouri?
Okay, so the question was, why was there, pardon?
Is it Missouri or
Missouri? Missouri. Yeah. So the question was, why did I have a linear response in Ohio versus the other locations where there's a quadratic plateau model? And it just goes back to the growing season conditions. So Ohio population, for whatever reason, was not the limiting factor for grain yield. So it was a different growing environment. As I mentioned, it was planted a little bit later. So probably the limiting factor there would have been the growing season. Yes, in the back. So the question was, why is there only about 2% use of this cropping system in like the Midwest? And economic incentives for growing corn and soybeans, and honestly, it's just a complication. Farmer doesn't want to be trying to plant wheat in the fall when he's harvesting his corn and soybean. So there's that reason. As well, sometimes like stand establishment can be a factor, so it's ultimately high risk. Ultimately, low wheat prices kind of dissuade farmers from adapting it. But I think in the future, it could expand again, just simply due to the fact that trying to get wheat back in the rotation, need that crop over the winter to hold on to the soil nitrates or whatever.
All right, let's thank the speaker.